The name of the new book is Negotiate Like a CEO, How to Get Ahead with Lessons Learned from Top Entrepreneurs and Executives. The author of the book is Jotham S. Stein, who's a principal of the law offices of Jotham S. Stein, with offices in California, Illinois, and in New York. He has over 20 years of experience in representing entrepreneurs, venture capitalists, and also less senior employees of all size companies. And looking forward to this for the next couple of minutes. Jotham, good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on your show.
Appreciate it. When I take a overview of the book, it seems to me that you really advocate a CEO mindset, regardless, you know, if one is a CEO or, to put this in quotes, a regular employee. Is that a fair assessment?
That is a fair assessment. That's the title of the book. And the reason why that's a fair assessment is you ask yourself, what do most CEOs do before they take a job at a company, before they take the job that they're going to run the company? They protect themselves before going in. So they negotiate their separation agreement, their severance agreement on day one before they go into the company, so that if things go well, they never need that protection, and everybody hopes things go well. But if they don't, they have their exit pre-negotiated, so they'll have a soft landing and move on to whatever is next in their career.
I know. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, and so that's the concept. Everybody should look out, whether you're just starting out or you're in mid-level of your job, you know, mid-career, or if you're an entrepreneur starting your own company, you need to protect yourself. You need to protect your business so that you'll have a smooth transition if things don't go well.
I know you're a lawyer who, as we said, specializes in helping executives and entrepreneurs protect themselves, as you've said. Wondering a little bit of how you gravitated to that part of the law. Was there an experience or two, a personal experience or two, that made you kind of say, you know, I want to do that? Or was it simply a gradual a pull of gravity that you ended up there?
Sort of both. The first that pulled me towards there is, and I didn't know I was being pulled towards there, is I was practicing in Silicon Valley, and I went out on my own, hung out my own shingle. And so a lot of the local lawyers in the area in Silicon Valley at the time, this is more than 25 years ago, would start referring me business, and it was usually the individual, because the big companies wanted to, you know, the big law firms, they wanted to represent the companies, the repeat players in the world. And so I wound up over time representing more and more entrepreneurs, executives, employees, and now 25 years later, I've represented so many I can't count.
Yep. I know that there are some great practical, just down-to-earth, straightforward, hitting, hard-hitting lines and comments and thoughts in the book. One of them I love here, maybe you can kind of expand this a bit. It says, never underestimate the possibility that rational actors will behave irrationally, sometimes insanely irrationally, but one person's or company's irrationality is sometimes another's shrewdness. Now, my question to you is, how does one make the distinction between shrewdness and insane?
So there's different contexts in the world, but we're talking about the employment context,
right?
The entrepreneurial context, okay, mm-hmm. Building your company. So something that might be considered insanely irrational is to fire a great employee who's doing really well, right? If the shareholders could vote, they would vote against the termination of employment. And by the way, this happens all the time. People get fired for all sorts of economically irrational reasons, including insanely irrational reasons from the perspective of the company or from the perspective of the shareholders, from the perspective of growing a company or growing a new enterprise. But from the perspective of the individual doing the firing in this example, for example, if they want to protect their job or if they have some other reason that has nothing to do with the shareholders of the company, from their point of view, it's very rational. For example, an incompetent boss firing a super competent subordinate, which happens all the time, which is one reason why you want to have protection, because this kind of irrationality happens all the time. But from the perspective of the incompetent boss, firing the competent subordinate is totally economically rational because they get to extend their life expectancy at the company. They get to extend their salary and their commissions, and if they're getting equity, stock from the company for 6 months, a year, 2 years, until they can try to fire the next competent person below them. So that's what I mean when I write about insanely rational, but from somebody else's perspective could be considered rational.
talking with Jotham S. Stein this morning for a few more minutes. One of the things from a personal level, I understand you actually, I guess before law school and then after a bit, hitchhiked around the world a couple of times. And I was wondering, travel is incredible, and you learn so much. Are you able to adapt, or through the years now and practicing law in this degree, able to adapt a lot of the things you learned along the way with the people you met, and situations you were in?
Well, I like people. That's why I traveled and hitchhiked around the world. So one of the great things that comes out of my practice, what I really enjoy, is different individuals I meet and help along the way. So that's great. Also, the kind of practice I have is something I can do basically anywhere as long as I have my computer and the servers in California. Now it's in the cloud. In the old days, it used to be in California. But so I can work anywhere and do my practice. So it sort of dovetails both ways.
I know you highlight 59 fictional entrepreneur and executive experiences throughout the book, and I assume they are fictional, but are they based on any real circumstances you've seen throughout your career, and they just change the names to protect the innocent?
They're not changed the names to protect the innocent. I actually wrote them in a Pete's Coffee House, and had a great time doing that. But they are repeat genres, if you will, if you're talking about books, a genre of a book, or if you're talking about a movie, the kind of movie, an action movie, a drama, a romance movie. They happen over and over and over again. Remember, with more than 25 years of experience, when somebody comes and tells me a fact pattern, a lot of times it fits into a fact pattern that's happened before. And that's why I wrote those 59 vignettes. They're stories, small, short stories. They underscore what I'm talking about in the book. And why am I talking about the things in the book? You know, what to look out for, what tea leaves to do, what the other side might be thinking, how to protect your business if you're going into business. Why am I able to write about that? It's because, you know, I have 2,000 plus experiences with individuals, some of whom have been in each of those situations.
Just about about 3 minutes left. You had mentioned earlier an example of an executive doing something that's definitely a self-preservation. Maybe an example or two, other things you've seen that executives most often get taken advantage of by their company, by someone above them.
Okay, so that happens when people go into a company, an executive goes into a company, or anybody who has leverage. They don't use their leverage in the beginning to negotiate the best deal for themselves. They don't use their leverage to protect themselves. Now, what do I mean by protection? If you're getting stock or profits interest or RSUs at a company, you protect yourself by saying, well, if you terminate my employment for any reason that's not cause, you will accelerate the vesting of my shares by 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. If you're concerned about commissions, you'll pay me commissions for the next 6 months on deals that I've negotiated. If you're concerned about your salary, you'll pay me 2 months, 3 months, 5 months, 6 months of salary to terminate my employment. So they don't use their leverage to do that, and then they get taken advantage of by getting fired, often with no notice, or being forced out of a company, you know, by somebody who's incredibly passive-aggressive and basically forces them out. And they wind up leaving on the table a lot of what they thought they would have, whether it's commissions, whether it's salary, whether it's equity.
Like we mentioned from the very beginning, this book you've got it, you know, you have a CEO and that sort of thing in the book, but this book will help someone just starting out on their career as well. And maybe an example of how that can do it. You just did one or two, but someone just starting out in their career, getting into the corporate world, what'd be one takeaway from the book that you would want them to have?
If you have any leverage at all, and a lot of people do in this economic environment, a lot of companies are looking to hire, protect yourself any way you can. And I talk about it in the book. The new person is not going to get a gigantic employment agreement like a CEO, but all they need is one line or two lines in an offer letter, in a one-page offer letter that can really protect them as they go forward in their career. The second reason the book can help you, not just because to negotiate your deal for your first job, it's also to look out for the tea leaves, because a lot of things happen really well at companies. They mean good things, and you want to know what those are. And then there are tea leaves that say, basically, you're being forced out. The company doesn't want you anymore. And you want to know that as well so that you can get your next job before you have problems in your first job.
This is good stuff. We need to get back together sometime and discuss some other aspects of the book. Where can we pick up the book?
Get it at Amazon.com. You just type in Negotiate Like a CEO, and it'll come right up, and you'll be able to buy either a paperback copy or a Kindle version, which is the electronic version.
Jotham S. Stein, thank you for your time this morning. Fascinating information, good information, practical information. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me on your show.